This is Sunday Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Sunday Supplement. In a week, that's probably quite historical for some reason. By the time you hear this, then George Bush will be dead.
Garnier.
I don't know. Hello, Izzy, by the way.
Hello. Hello, how by the way. I'm very well. I'm haven't got any socks on, which is quite exciting.
It's quite exciting if you have any penchant for feet. Anyway, the point I was making is that Barack Obama is going to be the king.
He is.
Have you by any chance been watching News 24 this week?
I haven't much, no. I've watched it a little bit, like when that plane did the thing.
Oh, when the plane floating in the water. That was an amazing sight. I really want one.
What, a plane floating in the water? Yeah. I used to do that in the bath. It's not that unusual. When I was a child, well, I obviously don't still play with aeroplanes in the bath. I was a very confused child. You know, I used to, you know, go with little tugboats.
I used to have a duck.
Or a rubber ducky or an actual ducky. It's a bit like a girlfriend, this, for you, isn't it?
How is a duck in the bath anything like a girlfriend?
Oh, the lies you lead.
Anyway, the Washington correspondent on BBC News 24 has been unable to file a report about the inauguration this week without comparing Obama to Lincoln. It is mad. Give the man a chance.
But he's not even been sworn in yet. He's not even been shot yet.
I think the worst decision that Obama could now make is to actually accept the job, because he can't live up to the expectations.
And also, if I were him, I'd demand a better country, to be honest, because what he's getting is a bit... I mean, I'm not saying that America's a bad country. I'm saying that at the moment, it's a bit, you know...
It's not fit for purpose.
So he should take his receipt and demand a new one that's shinier.
Well, he should say, well, when I won this country, it was in a bit better nick.
There must be some sort of consumer rights on that. And if they don't deliver it, he'll get Anne Robinson to wink at them. For our British audience.
No, Anne Robinson's quite famous in America as well.
She?
Yeah, she did The Weakest Link in America.
She didn't do The Weakest Link in America.
She did.
They must have got somebody cool and lots of naked people holding suitcases.
No, you've confused Noel Edmonds with Howie Mandel and what they did with Deal or No Deal.
I'd prefer to confuse Noel Edmonds than to anger Anne Robinson.
I'd quite like to feed Noel Edmonds to Anne Robinson.
I'd quite like to put Anne Robinson in Noel Edmonds' jumper.
Oh, yeah.
And then hit her slightly. Not in a bad way. Just gently with broccoli.
What paper did you buy?
What? Oh, yeah.
We're doing a podcast. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, obviously, I thought, well, you made me buy the Express last week. You forced me. So I just thought I'd better win this week, so I got the Observer.
How boring.
What do you mean, how boring? It's a great paper. And also, it's the Observer, it's the Music Monthly.
Oof.
So, yeah, we're going to have fun. We're gonna teach Simon something that he needs to know about Beats.
I bought The Independent.
Well, we're going to have a lib-off.
Possibly. But in The Independent, it's really annoying. I found, like, one of the best articles I've ever read, but it wasn't in the supplement. It was about David Nobbs, who wrote Reggie Perrin.
All right.
They're remaking it, but he's writing it. He's writing the remake with Simon Nye from Menbehaving Badly, and they've cast Martin Clunes as Reggie Perrin.
That's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, I think so. And just the article itself was just really nice, so it was just annoying that that wasn't in a supplement.
There was a rumour when I was at university that somebody, he was a doctor, and if your last bit, if you're a doctor and you're a surgeon and stuff, you have to perform your own autopsy. And the guy, he had his final, like, end of thing, autopsy to become a doctor, an exam, and his body was Reginald Perrin.
Ooh.
How weird would that be?
That'd be really weird.
I mean, because I'm all for donating your body to science and stuff after you're dead, but that would
I'm all for it before
but
you're
particularly
dead.
But particularly if you're famous, just to freak out
just to freak out the medical students.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Right, well, let's pledge now to do that.
Everybody, your task in life is to get famous to freak out medical students. That's the best excuse for fame I've ever heard.
Boom, boom, boom.
What's that?
That was supposed to be me saying that's where the music's going to go, and I'm going to stop it now. But I couldn't remember how our music goes.
It doesn't go boom, boom, boom.
No, I know.
is very different, in fact.
Boom, boom.
How does it go?
In a drop out, let it flow now, mama.
No, it certainly doesn't go like that. How does it go?
How does it go? It goes...
I'm not cutting anything out this week, and nor am I keeping it. I'm actually going to tear it out and ball it up.
Really?
Yeah, really. I'm properly angry about what I found in my paper this week, to the point that I think it's possibly the worst thing I've ever read in a supplement.
Really?
Yeah.
But worse than those horoscopes we did?
Yeah, worse than horoscope, yeah.
Worse than those medical articles about how it's good to drink Lapsang Souchong?
Yeah.
Despite what Ben Goldacre says.
Yeah, and why would anyone want to drink a dog?
That is a point. You could drink a slush puppy.
This article, for want of a better word, is an interview with Mark Damaser, who's the controller of Radio 4. And it is the worst interview ever. The guy who does it, he's got his own little picture to say that he's the guy who did the interview. So he's obviously quite big in the Independent. He's called Robert Chalmers. And it's 4 or 5 pages long in a big supplement, not in a little supplement. And he spends 3 pages of it talking about himself before he even starts to talk about his subject. The second annoying thing is, why would you go to the trouble of trying to talk to the controller of Radio 4 and then just tell him off about all the things you think he should have been doing? Why not just write a comment piece?
What's he say? Why does he tell him off?
Oh, he tells him off because there's not enough accents on Radio 4.
There's not enough accents?
Yeah.
There's not meant to be accents.
Accent doesn't actually equate to content, does it?
That is very true, especially if you've been to Newcastle.
Or if you've listened to any of the actual accents we've tried to do over the past month or two.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, well, you've immediately lost this section, haven't you? You've just done an accent.
I did not. I was about to sneeze, that's all that was.
It's so badly written, I didn't know who was saying what at one point. I was reading the thing and they go, this controller of Radio 4 is a bit angry about his own channel. And the two other things that really annoy me, the first is that in the Sunday Times this week, I read a really nice interview with David Frost about the Frost-Nixon interviews. And you're never, ever going to see an interview like that again.
Yeah.
And then there's this really disingenuous quote in big, like, letters, you know, where they put it in the middle of the article. So you can say, oh, he said that. It's got, Archers is more boring than real life. And it's in speech marks as though Mark Damaser has said it. And then when you get towards the end of the article, it turns out the interviewer's son has said it.
I actually studied the Archers as part of my rural and country visions course.
Because the Archers is a depiction of what we think the countryside is.
No, but it's not. It's constantly undermined because you have... I remember we were driving to a gig in Shropshire and we listened, and there was just before 7:15 on a weekday evening on Radio 4, a woman was being raped. So it actually counterbalances the idyll by forcing us to reconcile rape and gay relationships and all manner of other things.
Tell me about your article.
I've got the brilliant supplement Observer Music Monthly magazine, Simon.
Yeah, right.
And there's this one article which is just a column by a lady called Miranda Sawyer. Angst is out as the girls take over, and she's talking about how all the music labels have basically started to promote female single. I don't know if you've noticed that, Simon.
Yeah.
You've got Amy Winehouse, Lily Allen, Adele, Duffy, Kate Nash, Estelle, Leona, the A&R men. And basically she sort of says, well, what's really going on is the record company is saying, well, if they've got one, we need one.
Right. Is this some sort of insight?
Yeah, they regard young women as easy to deal with. They're female, so they're supposedly malleable. There's only one of them. And again, because there's only one of them, they're cheap to run.
Cheap to run? What, like a Ford Fiesta?
But she does this sort of thing saying, actually, this is really good. And because, I don't know if you know about Radiohead, Simon.
They're a creep. They're a weirdo.
Yeah, that's them. Well, basically, their big thing, Tom York's big thing, was just let the music speak for itself. Don't bother promoting an image and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that musicianship doesn't have to be key and making an effort with promotion is not akin to selling your soul. And it's not wrong for a musical audience to demand some entertainment with their music.
No, that's fair enough. But if then what you're delivering is sugar-coated blandness, then... it's irrelevant what you dress
up. But I don't think she's saying that. I think she's saying that, you know, as well as being a good singer, you can also bloody well promote yourself and be entertaining.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
And it's a really nicely written article. I like it.
Well, if you say so, but it's not exactly saying very much, is it? It's
saying quite a lot, actually.
So what have we learned? That there are quite a lot of female singers at the moment, and that record companies think that that's a good thing.
I've also got Forever Raving On, 50 years on, Paul McCartney remembers his hero, Buddy Holly.
Well, he just goes, oh, I remember Buddy Holly.
Pretty much,
I should be on a plane with him. There is, of course, that rumour that Paul McCartney did die.
Oh, yeah, well, that conspiracy theory.
So I've won this week because you did an accent.
I did not do an accent.
I think you did.
I think that you have lost because you said you hated your article. And I've got, like, the Observer music thing, which actually matters.
Why?
How are you going to know what's going to be coming up next year in the world of pop, rock and indie? Well, have you heard of Kyra Francis? Have you heard of LaRue? Have you heard of SCUM? Have you heard of Dan Black?
Have you?
Well, I have now. I have now.
Well, I've so been am in... I now.
Okay, who's... Dan Black. Where's he from? Wendover, Buckinghamshire. Yeah.
I'm going to edit this and then just say he's from Wendover, Buckinghamshire.
You dare. Do you know who Cheeky Cheeky in the Nosebleeds are? Actually, let's do this. Is this a band or is it not a band? Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
That is a band. Fast Strap.
Fast Strap or Bra Strap?
Fast Strap.
No.
Well done. Paul Epworth.
Yes.
Well done. Aeroplane.
No.
Ah, you got it wrong. Aeroplane or a Belgian duo. Stephen Francino, Vito De Lucia. Jessica Hoop.
I'm not playing anymore.
Jessica Hoop.
You can introduce this. I'm bored.
No. I think the word is lazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a certain element of truth.
If you were a wasp,
mm-hmm.
you'd be one of the ones that lies upside down in between two panes of glass rather than continually banging its head on a pane of glass.
You mean the dead ones? Are you threatening me?
Yeah.
Are you saying if I wear my black and yellow sweater again, you will kill me?
Yeah, but you don't look like a wasp in that, do you, Simon? You look like a confused hamster.
I don't look like any of those things because I haven't actually got a striped yellow and black.
Yeah, you
sweater.
Do. No, that's the one you go around going, I'm a tiger. My name's Tigger.
It need to be orange, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, there's a really lovely clip on YouTube, and it has Shere Khan, the tiger from the Jungle Book, looking really scary, and somebody's rejigged the clips so that he's singing the Tigger song from Winnie the Pooh, and it's really funny.
Okay.
Remember YouTube. That might come up in a bit.
Remember you're a womble.
Don't da-da-da-da. He'll be a womble soon.
I stood up on my tiptoe and I looked him in the chin. I said, please pick that litter up and put it in the bin.
You'll be a womble soon. Underground, overground, wombling three. The wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. I used to think it was the wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Meaning, we're quite... working class, hence why we pick up litter.
Yeah. Do you want to do Article of Fast on that then?
I think we're having fun talking about wombles. Do-do-do.
I always thought it'd be quite fun to go to Wimbledon Common with a spade and try and dig up a womble and spit roast it. Not in a dirty way, but actually in a bonfire type way. And actually have a womble burger.
Wow. I think if you could get a womble burger, Wimpy would have bought them up.
Can we play Article of Article now, please?
Oh, you want to play, do you? You want to play, little boy? You want to play? Okay, I have four articles.
Yeah, we know the rules. Get on with it.
You don't know the
rules.
Yes,
we do.
Our listenership is going up every week. So what I want to do is explain to those who have been...
I think they'd have probably switched off by now when we started talking about wombles.
Now, some people's MP3 players get stuck. So we're stuck in your head. Hello.
Kill
I have four
all
articles.
Humans.
What?
Kill all humans.
I've got now Uncle Bulgaria with a red eye and his foot snapping off. Anyway. I've got an image now of a wet liquid womble running after a woman who takes herself too seriously. Right. I've got four articles, three of which are in The Observer, one of which I've made up, and it's up to Simon to tell which are the articles and which is the farcical. Number one. Reinventing the cardigan.
I want a cardigan. I used to have a cardigan. I like cardigans.
It's Woolworthed.
It's Woolworthed.
This is actually an amazing article, right? It's all about how words, nouns, become verbs.
Oh, yeah.
So Woolworthed is another word of it being F-U-C-K'd.
Yeah. Stephen Fry was going on about that this week in his podcast, wasn't he?
But it's got really weird new ones. So it's not things like Bluetooth me or text me. It's iPhone me.
I don't think anyone's ever said that. iPhone me.
It's weirder than that, because in this, hang on, where is it? Like YouTubed.
Yeah, that's fine. Or Googled. Stephen Fry makes the point that if you're going to get uppity about that, which I don't think you are, but if you are going to get uppity about that, you might as well get uppity with Shakespeare, because he did it all the time. He tabled motions and...
HMV me a DVD and Tesco me some juice.
Oh, that's rubbish. No one's ever said that. Well, I mean, you've said it twice now, but that's it.
Tesco me some juice.
That's a bored journalist in an office going, what could I turn into a verb?
And instead of saying buttered the bread, apparently people are saying flora the bread.
No, they're not.
Okay, they're not.
Podcast me the next article.
Off the scales, perfect sushi.
Off the scales, I see.
And then finally, is this an article or is it a farcical? Murray Walker's Nerve Centre.
And what is Murray Walker's Nerve Centre?
It's his Nerve Centre and HQ, which is his beautiful home.
Right. I'm tempted to say that one is the one you made up, just so that I can say Murray Walker is farcical.
How dare you, sir? He's a lovely man.
I'm sure he's beautiful, but that's true. Woolworths is just true, because I've read lots of things about that this week, so it wouldn't surprise me that that's in there. So perfect sushi or cardigans. I'm going to go with perfect sushi because it has a pun in it.
So you say that perfect sushi is a farcical?
I do say that.
Okay.
I'm clearly wrong.
So what did we have? We had reinventing the cardigan.
Yeah.
That one is an article.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
Hurrah.
And then we had it's Woolworthed. And that one is a farcical.
Ah.
I made it all that up.
So you made up the Tesco'd and the Florid and...
Yeah.
And it still seemed plausible to me that some idiot would make that up. How weird.
Yeah, piss you a bit. So that means that Murray Walker's Nerve Centre and Off the Scales Perfect Sushi are all in this week's Observer. As was also How to Keep an Aquarium.
Is that How to Keep an Aquarium like How to Keep a Man?
Yeah.
You know, treat it right, feed it. All that sort of stuff.
That's how you keep a man, is it, Simon? You feed it.
Apparently, no, I've read articles that say just feed him every day and he'll stay. I think they're confusing men with cats.
I made lasagna last night. It was amazing.
You made lasagna last night?
Yeah, I actually did everything though from scratch. So, like, I made the roux.
You slaughtered a cow.
Yeah.
Minced it. You grew an onion. Did you generate electricity?
I do that, yes.
Or did you generate gas?
You're just bitter because you lost. The arts. That's what it should be called. Not the arts. It should be up the arts. Big up.
Big up the arts. That's not too bad. But up the arts. Come on. Come on. You're better than that.
Pooing out the arts.
So, what do you want to talk about?
I've got the 1,000 novels everyone must read. Volume 2, Crime.
Is that another 1,000? Or is it just the crime section?
I don't think there's quite 1,000 in here. I think there's about 100, maybe.
Right, so they're obviously doing 10 lots of different genres.
But what I like about this is I've read loads of them. But they have things which I wouldn't consider crime. Things like Perfume, Story of a Murder and that sort of thing. Which isn't crime. It's more sort of a historical
win. I've not read Perfume, although I have seen the film and it freaked me out. Immensely.
It's the best book adaptation I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, really well done, that film. It's not a brilliant film, but it's not a brilliant book, but it's got Rickman in it, so...
Have you read it in the original German?
Nine. What I will do is, you know that game we were playing earlier on this podcast?
Yeah.
Well, what I think we should do is I'll read you out new bands or the title of book, and you've got to say book or band.
All right.
Okay. The Four Just Men.
Book.
That is a book.
Okay.
Bonus point if you know who wrote it.
Wilbur Smith.
Nah, Edgar Wallace.
Okay.
The Soft Pack.
That is a band.
Yay!
Nice.
Live Flesh.
Live Flesh. That is a book.
Yeah!
Is it by someone like Stephen King?
Unfortunately not. It's by Ruth Rendell.
Oh, she's like Stephen King.
She's a bit like Stephen King. You know, you've heard of her.
Quite.
Toxic Shock.
Toxic Shock. That's a band. I've got an interview with Jonathan Demme.
Who?
Don't say who. He's the director of such films as Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah!
Anyway, he's given up making Hollywood films, apparently, and he's making documentaries. Except he has just released a Hollywood film about a wedding, which is apparently brilliant, and Anne Hathaway is in it, and it's written by Sidney Lumet's daughter. It's also pretty good because it's got a picture of George Clooney in it.
Garnier.
I win.
No, I don't.
I clearly don't win that at all, do I? Your problems don't concern me, but that's what this section's called. We haven't done Dear Izzy for ages.
I haven't been sent that many. They've kind of dwindled off because we haven't done it for a while.
There we go. There's a challenge for you. You need to write us some Dear Izzys so that she can be rude to you. It's a liberating experience.
Be like Simon. Have me demean you. It's just quite a nice idea that you guys write in with your problems and I attempt to solve them. So if you've got any problems...
You don't attempt to solve them at all.
I do attempt to solve them.
You ridicule...
I solve them. I attempt to solve them. Or if you want to do Dear Izzy's from like history or something, so you could send me an angry aunt letter from Hitler.
You wanted to talk about a problem page.
I've got Mariella Frostrup's Dear Mariella, which is a bit like Dear Izzy, except she tries to be good. And it's an amazing letter. This woman is in her early 50s. Her kids have just gone off to university and she started having an affair with another married man. But the married man is in an open relationship. She's fallen in love with him, but he's in love with another woman who isn't his wife. But his wife has banned him from seeing the other woman and she wants to know what to do. And Mariella just says, "What the hell are you doing? Get out of there." Which is brilliant. It's the best thing ever. It's just lovely because it's just like, yeah, that's what she should do. But you know, it's not that simple and it's brilliant. Because the other woman, she's going, "Oh, it's his wife, you see, for not letting him, you know, see this other woman he's in love with." And he's like, "Well, that's not going to help you. So get out of there."
Mad, isn't it? Some people just like to create drama in their own lives.
I've now got the Buzzcocks going through my head.
The Buzzcocks?
Have you ever fallen in love with someone? Ever fallen in love with someone? Ever fallen in love with someone you shouldn't have fallen in love with?
I fell in love with Hitler once. I might send you a Dear Izzy about it.
Oh, considering he's dead. Oh. That must be awful. Falling in love with somebody you've never met who's also dead. And it's really unpopular, so you can't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, in many ways it is a problem, isn't it?
It's tragic. It's absolutely tragic.
Well, I haven't got a problem page because my paper has integrity and doesn't want to make entertainment out of other people's misery.
Your paper can't find anybody capable of solving the sort of issues that only independent readers have. Things like, "Oh no, what shall I do with my wheatgrass extract?"
What's actually happened is that the magazine section of my independent has fallen out and I can't find it, so... it's quite possible I do have a problem page.
I don't think you do, actually, in an independent, I think. Unless it's about gardening or something.
Is it beneath them?
It's not beneath them. They still do it about gardening, which is just filthy. Mary wants to know about poppy seeds. I bet she does, the cow.
It's like a Greek facade now.
A column.
Full of columns, yeah.
I've actually got, instead of reading a column, I've got How to Be a Celebrity Columnist by Eva Wiseman.
Is it Get a Ghostwriter?
Well, it's quite amusing. I don't know if you think this is tongue-in-cheek, but anyway. "You are a man who thinks deeply about the issues. You're a man who, in no way, needs to do work experience in order to get a byline at a national newspaper. You're a man who wears dark glasses in a dim light, and you're a man who will be paid handsomely in hubris. Now, out of that ethical champagne bath and to the live/workspace, where, tapping away on your guitar-shaped laptop, you will proffer solutions to the world leaders to chew over. Brackets. Don't give them a fish, guys. Give them a fishing rod, fishing line, you know, a net sort of thing, whatever they use these days. Name drop as though your fingers are butter-coated. Hyphenate like you're stuttering. And extend your metaphors like wordy car aerials. Bravo you, though, using your immense fame to save the world and not just to buy loads and loads of new wraparound shades."
Is that just a massive dig at Piers Morgan?
It's a massive dig at Piers Morgan and Bono, I think. It made me giggle. I liked it.
I've got how to be a celebrity sports commentator.
And how do you do that?
It says don't bother unless you're interested in self-promotion. It's better to tune into local radio, which sounds wrong to me. Why would anyone want to listen to local radio?
Oh, it's true. Why would you? I've got Woody Allen on perverts.
Time to decide who has the superior supplements this week, and inevitably Izzy will interrupt me at any moment and say she had them, because...
Well, I don't know if I do, Simon, because if you didn't even have a magazine, according to you, with an agony aunt, which isn't really a magazine if it doesn't have an agony aunt. Even Top Gear has an agony aunt.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
it's not James Bond address, is it?
Of course it is.
Anyway, you think you win because...
I've got the Observer Music Monthly magazine, and I've got 100 novels everyone must read, and I've got Woody Allen on perverts.
Woody Allen, not Woolly Allen.
No, it's Woolly Adden on perverts.
Well, I had a man shouting at Radio 4, which...
Yeah, but he...
Come on.
But it's bad. You said how bad it
but
was.
But that happens in real life. If you're near Radio 4, you tend to shout at it.
Dude, they had a thing yesterday, and it was all these young people talking about how they've watched porn on the internet, and this woman sort of going, oh my gosh, it's terrible. And it was like, well, literally, they were just saying, we just don't know the effects of all these young people watching porn. We just don't know the effects, and that assumes that they're all negative.
Well, there is that. But one of the positives is that as a teenager, you no longer have to search for porn in the woods. You can actually just go on the internet and find it.
See, Simon, not everybody finds bears sexy.
No, but see, that's a joke you're not going to get because you've never been alive without the internet.
Basically, all we know about Simon is that he goes in the woods to look for bears that he finds sexy, and if he can't get them, he digs up wombles and burns them. And that is why I win.
I'll tell you what the most negative aspect of kids growing up with too much porn will be, is they will be trying to have sex like they see on porn films.
Yeah, and that's not good sex, is it?
No, it's visually impressive.
It's good to watch. It's impressive to watch, but it's not...
fun to do.
Exactly, because good sex is often just, you know, it looks stupid.
Well, yeah, especially with a bear in the woods and a womba watching.
Beware those wombles, Simon. They're evil. They're coming to kill you from the future. They just appear naked next to a truck.
Anyway, so the paper you should have bought last Sunday was...
The Observer.
Yeah. So if you want to write to us and send us a Dear Izzy, we'd like one of those. That's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Any problem at all, I can solve it. I'm like a wizard with solutions.
You can visit our website at www.sundayssupplement.com.
You can visit our face group book. Yeah, our face group book. That is on Facebook.
And other things.
Yeah, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, that'd be cool if you're listening to this. Because basically, we do this for free, yeah? And actually, we lose money because we have to buy a paper. They don't give us papers. They're mean.
It'd be cool, though, wouldn't it, if we got the Sundays all sent to us every week? We'd get, like, a house to live in every week. It'd be a paper house. That reminds me of the joke I first remember really, really laughing at. Properly laughing to the point where I fell off my seat. I was quite young at the time, so bear with me. Did you hear about the man who bought a paper shop? It blew away. And I laughed until my face fell off.
Simon?
Yeah.
What's blue and smells like red paint?
What's blue and smells like red paint? I don't know.
Blue paint. Bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.